Surely.
Janai.
By the people in general.
Ihitam.
Activities.
Ishradanam.
Of the controllers.
Asmat vidai.
Like me.
Tat.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Guna.
Of the modes of material nature.
Sarga,
which brings forth creation.
Mayaya,
by your energy.
Na,
never.
Gayate,
are understood.
Mohita,
bewildered.
Chitta,
whose minds.
Vartmabhi,
way.
Tebhya,
unto them.
Nama,
obeisances.
Virayasha
karebhya, who bring renown to heroes themselves. Translation. My dear Lord, I am also the creation of one of your energies, composed of the three modes of material nature. Consequently, I am bewildered by your activities. Even the activities of your devotees cannot be understood, and what to speak of your pastimes. Thus, everything appears to us to be contradictory and wonderful. Purport. The activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various forms and incarnations are always uncommon and wonderful. It is not possible for a tiny human being to estimate the purpose and plans of such activities. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has said that unless the Lord's activities are accepted as inconceivable, they cannot be explained. The Lord is eternally existing as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in Goloka Vrindavan. He has also simultaneously expanded himself in innumerable forms, beginning with Lord Ram, Lord Nrisimha, Lord Varaha, and all the incarnations coming directly from Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the expansion of Baladev, and Baladev is the first manifestation of Krishna. Therefore, all these incarnations are known as Kala. The word Ishvaranam refers to all the personalities of Godhead. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is confirmed that all the incarnations are partial expansions, or Kala, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not take the plural number of the word Ishvaranam to mean there are many Godheads. The fact is that God is one, but he exists eternally and expands himself in innumerable forms and acts in various ways. Sometimes the common man is bewildered by all this and considers such activities contradictory, but they are not contradictory. There is a great plan behind all the Lord's activities. For our understanding, it is sometimes said that the Lord is situated in the heart of the thief as well as the heart of the householder. But the supersoul in the heart of the thief dictates, go and steal things from that particular house. And at the same time, the Lord tells the householder, now be careful of thieves and burglars. These instructions to different persons appear contradictory. Yet we should know that the supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has some plan. And we should not consider such activities contradictory. The best course is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead wholeheartedly, and, being protected by him, remain peaceful. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Maharaj Prithu Becomes Angry at the Earth. Om Gyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is bewildering, both for the ordinary people who are under the influence of the modes of material nature, and also for his greatest devotees. Bewilderment is a natural part of existence, both in the spiritual world and in the material world. This past summer, I was giving seminars at festivals in Ukraine and Russia. In Ukraine, 2,500 devotees came for a week-long festival, and in Russia, 4,000 devotees came for another week-long festival. So my theme was blinded by love, bewilderment in both the spiritual and the material worlds. One way or another, we're going to be bewildered. Now, sometimes devotees mistakenly think that to be all-knowing means to be omniscient or to know everything like Krishna knows. Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. So when I attain that original constitutional position, I'll know everything. No, you cannot know everything because you are a tiny part. To be situated in the chit potency, the knowledge potency of the Lord, means you know whatever Krishna wants you to know. That's the aspiration of a devotee. Whatever Krishna wants me to know and understand, so that the loving relationship can proceed so nicely and sweetly, that is knowledge. Srila Prabhupada calls this mentality perfect for a devotee. He says it's the Vrindavan mentality, in which more than trying to understand who is Krishna, you engage in loving devotional service. Of course, in order to engage in devotional service with determination, we need to understand the science of Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Dharma. But we should know what is the goal of that knowledge. The goal of spiritual knowledge is not just to know, but the goal is to love. Therefore, Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishcha sarva aham eva veja, Vedantakrit, if it eva cha. I am the goal of the Vedas. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. In Vrindavan, the residents are living at the peak of Vedic understanding. Everything culminates in love. They're not thinking, if Krishna is God, then we'll love him. No. All they know is Krishna is the all-attractive. Everyone and everything is attracted to Krishna. He's reciprocating with everyone. Even the trees, the Jamuna River, the flowers, the cows, everyone loves Krishna. It's not a question of, is he God or is he not? We have to figure it out. Otherwise, how can we love him? No, they love Krishna no matter what. This is the perfection of existence. This is the culmination of having full knowledge that you have unconditional love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any impediment, any condition. Now, you can see bewilderment in the material world. You can see bewilderment in the spiritual world. Because we are tiny parts, we must become bewildered. But we get to choose. Do we want to be blinded by prema or blinded by the illusory energy? You get to take your choice. Yesterday, we had such a nice university visit from students of college, and about 100 of them came. Of course, many of you were having an ecstatic Ratha Yatra. We also had a good time here, as Savas Prabhu could tell you. And they are very interesting. After the talk, and they sat down to have very wonderful prasad, they started asking, like, well, who is Krishna? Who is this Krishna? That I consider to be the ultimate benediction when persons, after chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, taking prasad in the association of devotees, then they start asking, well, anyway, can you tell me, who is this Krishna? That is the beginning of their perfection of life. So we began to discuss with the students. And as you're hearing in this purport, Krishna is a puzzle for the common person. It can appear that there are contradictions. How is it that Krishna can be all-pervading and everywhere, and yet he is localized at the same time? Even Kunti Devi herself wondered about this. Namasye purusham tvajam ishvaram prakrite param alaksham sarvabhutanam anta bahir avastitam. Krishna, you're the original person, purusham tvajam. Yet, even though you're a person, you're beyond material nature. You're superior to the modes of material nature. Now, you're inside and outside of everything, yet you're invisible to everyone. Alaksham sarvabhutana. Queen Kunti had just seen how Krishna entered the womb of Uttara to save the embryo of Pritchett Maharaj. And at the same time, she also knew that Krishna is outside of the womb of Uttara as Kunti's nephew. So she's wondering, is he inside? Is he outside? But of course, her bewilderment and her puzzlement is a source of increased glorification of Krishna. And therefore, Kunti Devi, she gave us such wonderful prayers. In material life, you're also bewildered and blinded, but no ecstasy comes from it. We are discussing this with the students. We pointed out to them, what do you plan to do with yourselves? And they all gave the universal answer that is common these days. I'm just going to fulfill myself one way or another. I'm studying chemistry, or I'm studying this or that, or I don't know what I should be studying, but I hope to make up my mind soon. And the whole point is to fulfill yourself, to do something that could be interesting. Right now I like chemistry, so I think I'll study that. And so then I asked, well, what about your long-range plan for fulfillment? Well, you know, you just got to take it one step at a time. And so then I said, okay, let's put the cards on the table, so to speak. You guys, you know, you're 19, 20 years old, maybe 21. You've already done all the peak experiences that Kali Yuga can offer. You've done all the, you know, the sensuous experiences that are available these days. What are you going to look forward to now? What do you have to look forward to? They all just had a blank look on their face, like, that's right. You know, we've done the intoxication. We've done all the illicit sex. What else is there left to life? So I told them, right, you got it. What else is there left to material life? You're 19, you're 20. You've done it all. There's nothing to look forward to. They all just, No one challenged. Everyone just sat there at a table of about 8 students. They just sat there with complete acceptance. Yeah, wow. There's nothing new left in life anymore. So I pointed out, you are bewildered. There is an energy that bewilders you, just like the fog covers the sun. The process of bhakti yoga means how to dissipate the fog by the sun of Krishna consciousness rising. Now, some of the students, they were, of course, having some kind of temporary liaison with other students, you know, girlfriends, boyfriends, like that. So I said to them, you're asking me who is Krishna, and you're a little confused about Krishna. Is he a person? Is he all-pervading? Is he indescribable? Well, let's look at your relationship. Here we have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Do you two understand everything about each other? I said, no way. I said, okay, Now, from the conventional point of view, it would be said that you two are in love, right? Oh, yes, 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 we're in love. I said, okay, let's discuss briefly what mundane psychologists say about this experience of being blinded by love, as you call it. First of all, this experience lasts no more than 12 to 16 months, according to the global average for the romance duration. So you can look forward to 12 to 16 months of your hormones boiling, and then what? They both looked at me. Yeah, that's a good question. So what do you do when you come back down to earth and your head stops spinning? What are you going to do? I said, okay, let's look at your situation right now. Without going into the duration of your mundane romance, let's just look at what you're analyzing, what you're calculating right now. You know this other person has faults, right? And they kind of, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you don't understand everything the other person does. Yeah, that's right. I said, look, this is what your mundane psychologists say about what you're going through. They say, these are the basic options you have in dealing with the faults of the beloved. Number one, you don't see it at all. You don't see any of these faults at all. That's why there's that expression in material life, love is blind. That's also true in the spiritual world, but of course it's a completely different meaning. The love in Vrindavan blinds all the devotees. They don't think Krishna is God, even when Krishna does inconceivable things. Still, Krishna is there, their son, their lover, their friend. So they're blinded by love. But giving up that original state of being blinded by love in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, you still get the chance to be blinded by some perversion of love. So, option one, you don't see the faults of your beloved. I quoted another statement that psychologists say. Love is a story that you make up about another person and convince yourself in your mind. I said, ooh, that sounds interesting. So, option one, you don't see the faults. But then there's option two. This could be more interesting for you all. I told them. Option two is that you see the faults and you think they're actually commendable because they make the person more interested. And you get a sense of mission that there may be a few things wrong with this person, but I can sort that out. You know, like it gives me something to do, you know, a project. And then option three is that you really get off on the faults. You think they're great. So I said, which one do you go for? They all had different answers. Well, you know, there may be faults, but I'll overlook that. Or the faults are unique and make me more attracted to the person. Now, you're willing to do that for a tiny, mundane, conditioned soul in this world. But why is it when it comes to Krishna, we're so demanding? Everything has to make sense to my little mind. There can be no contradictions in Krishna. Everything has to be conceivable. Otherwise, it's all imagination. By the grace of the illusory energy, we grant so much slack to material existence. But when it comes to Krishna, the perfect, pure, spiritual pastimes of the Lord, we're so demanding. Everything has to add up. Everything has to be very logical. We're very intolerant. This is what happens when we are inspired by the material energy. Merciless to Krishna and very merciful towards some deluded, conditioned soul. Now, Queen Kunti describes three times. It's very significant when you do something in Vedic circles. Three times. Three times she says, it's bewildering, my lord, your pastimes. Janma karma chavishvapam. It's bewildering that even though you're unborn, you take birth. And even though you are inactive, you still act in this world. This is all bewildering to me, especially because you appear amongst humans, amongst demigods, amongst animals. Indeed, this can be very confusing. And then she also expresses, your pastimes are bewildering to the common person. And she gives an example. Just look at what happened with Mother Yashoda in the Damodar Leela. Krishna is the controller of fear. Fear itself is afraid of Krishna, yet Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda. And she binds him with a rope as Krishna is crying. How can this be? So Queen Kunti expresses that this is very hard to understand, not simply for the ordinary people, but even for the greatest devotees. But you see, when the greatest devotees say, this is bewildering, this is hard to understand, that bewilderment leads to more love. The appreciation of Krishna's inconceivable ways leads to an increase in ecstatic love. We'll see that more when we discuss Uddhava speaking to Vidura about Krishna's pastimes. Krishna has just left this world, left the mundane vision of this world. And so Uddhava will also recite a list of perplexities, bewilderments that the Lord has done through his leelas. And you'll see even more clearly in Uddhava how just remembering these apparent contradictions leads to an increase in ecstatic love. That is the nature of real life, life in the spiritual world. Anything you remember about Krishna provokes your ecstatic love. So, Vidura was hearing from Uddhava because Uddhava was the last person with Krishna before Krishna left ordinary vision. And so, Uddhava was describing how my heart is filled with pain when I think how it is that the unborn appears to take birth in the prison cell of Kamsa. The unborn appears to leave Mathura and go to hide incognito in Vrindavan out of fear, apparently. This unborn appears to flee Mathura again out of fear of Jarasandha. All these remembrances give me pain. Now, what is this? How is Uddhava feeling pain? He is thinking Krishna has departed. I wish to have gone with him. He knows that Krishna has only departed from ordinary vision. Still, his loving condition is making him feel that way. His eternal loving situation is making him feel pain in his heart. But that pain in his heart is not material. It is transcendental ecstasy. This is knowledge of Advaita Gyan, non-duality. True knowledge of non-duality is that pain in the spiritual world gives pleasure, and pleasure gives pleasure. In material life, pain is unwanted, and pleasure is wanted. In the spiritual, everything is wanted. All the different varieties simply give the experience of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So when Uddhava says, my heart is pained thinking about various contradictory aspects of Krishna's pastimes, he's actually feeling transcendental ecstasy. He's remembering how the Lord had Vasudev transfer him to Vrindavan. Krishna was very pleased by Vasudev because Vasudev broke his promise to deliver all of his children to Kamsa for Kamsa's discretion. Vasudev is famous for his word of honor. And previously he did bring some of the children to Kamsa. But when it was time for the eighth one, Vasudev couldn't do it. So Krishna was very pleased by Vasudev's devotion. Vasudev is thinking that I must protect my boy. I can't bring him to Kamsa. Kamsa may kill him. Sometimes Vasudeva knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes he acts like he's not. He and Devaki are known as nearing the Vrindavan platform, but not completely on it. So, in any case, Krishna is pleased. My devotee Vasudeva, I've appeared just to diminish his fear, and he has broken his promise to Kamsa, just because he feels he needs to protect me. So how did Krishna reciprocate with Vasudeva for Vasudeva doing that? When Vasudeva is carrying Krishna, newborn Krishna, appearing in this world just a few hours before, he's carrying Krishna across the Jamuna River, and there's a huge storm, and the Jamuna River is tossing with wind and rain and waves. What does Krishna do? He falls out of Vasudeva's arms into the Jamuna River. Now, if any of you have been fathers, can you imagine? Your newborn son, you're crossing the river with your newborn son, and he falls out of your arms into the storm-tossed waters. Well, what would be your state of mind? You would just go berserk. So Krishna did that. That's how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. You loved me so much, you lied to Kamsa. Okay, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to take your love to an even higher level. Watch this. We're crossing the river. I'm going to fall out of your arms into the river. You're going to go mad with love. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like with the gopis, Krishna told them, your love, I cannot repay it even in a lifetime of Brahma. So then what did he do? Indeed, to repay them, he left them. So, therefore we say that Krishna's pastimes are bewildering. They seem to be contradictory, but as soon as you understand the Lord is the reservoir of perfect love, then things make sense. Uddhava also described another bewildering scene. He said that filled his heart with distress. Not so much the scene itself filled Uddhava's heart with distress, but just remembering Krishna's pastimes made Uddhava feel separation from the Lord. Oh, I wish I could go with him. Now I'm without his association. He said, after Krishna kills Kamsa, again to reciprocate with Vasudeva and Devaki, to put them out of fear, then the Lord goes to Vasudeva and Devaki after they're freed from prison, and he wants to exchange vatsalya prema with them. He wants to taste their parental love. But Vasudeva and Devaki have just seen the Lord kill Kamsa. They've seen his inconceivable shakti, his inconceivable power. So they are feeling awe and reverence. Because they have that. They can go both ways. They can go to the spontaneous love side. They can go to the awe and reverence side. So they were feeling very hesitant to reciprocate with Krishna. Krishna's coming toward them in order to stir the ocean of parental love, but they're feeling overwhelmed by awe and reverence. So then Krishna has to use his yogamaya potency to cover them over so they'll forget his opulences and they'll simply love him as their son. So he comes before them, oh Amba, oh Tata, oh Mother, oh Father, forgive me. I could not be at home with you for my childhood years. I could not experience your parental love. Forgive me. And I also suffered. Balaram and I also suffered. We could not enjoy the pampering that parents give to their children. And then Krishna gives the reason. Please understand. The situation came about because we were afraid of Kamsa. And so, after speaking like that, and with the help of the Yogamaya, blinding potency, Vasudeva and Devaki, they just picked Krishna up on their laps and started crying. This is the effect Krishna wanted. That they forget he's God and just love him as their son. So Uddhava said, when I think of this bewildering scene, my heart is filled with distress. That his heart is filled with distress is not a material thing. It is the distress of love of Krishna and separation. He's feeling the absence of the Lord, and by those feelings, the Lord is actually even more present. This is the mystery of pure love of God. Now, this verse we're studying today says that even the activities of your devotees cannot be understood. And what to speak of your pastimes? Throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read how the activities of a devotee fully situated in pure love of Krishna cannot be understood by an ordinary person. What they're feeling, what they're thinking. An ordinary person can't understand this. Again and again, Kaviraj Goswami cautions us about that. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated ecstasies that are not even described in the Shastra. He demonstrated ecstasies that were never seen before, and you can't read about them in the Shastra. Of course, by the Lord, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrating these ecstasies, and by these ecstasies being recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it becomes Shastra. But otherwise, no. The Lord demonstrated such inconceivable ecstatic symptoms of love of Krishna, never seen before and never described before. And he did this as a devotee of Krishna. Mahaprabhu, as you know, takes the role of the devotee of Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Well, this is our luxury, this is our wealth, to understand and relish the behavior of the devotees who love Krishna, as well as to understand and relish Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when these students ask, who is Krishna? Can you explain Krishna? Their walk on the path of bhakti had begun. After many births and deaths of rotating in material existence, they finally come to that point and say, who is Krishna? And Krishna in the heart notices, oh, you're asking about me. You've all had that experience before, too. When someone asks about you, you feel so flattered. How are you? How is your health? How are you feeling now? Oh, someone's noticing me. Krishna is in everyone's heart. Srinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. When he hears, as the supersoul in your heart, that you're asking about him, he becomes pleased and he reciprocates. How does he reciprocate? For the devotee, he reciprocates by cleansing your heart of material enjoyment. Just because you're hearing about him, you're hearing questions and answers about him. And for those who have not yet started their bhakti, when they ask about Krishna, Krishna in the heart notices, your bhakti has begun. And he makes arrangements that they can continue their service gradually in the future. Maybe it won't all happen in this lifetime. But just that question, who is Krishna, is never forgotten. The Lord in the heart notices that. So these are the wonders of bhakti. These are the wonders of ecstatic love of Krishna. We will be blinded one way or another, and our desire is to become blinded by Krishna Prem. Srila Prabhupada recommends this is the perfect mentality for devotees. In other words, Prabhupada is pointing us beyond even Vaikuntha. He's pointing us to Goloka Vrindavan, where the devotee's love of Krishna is not dependent on whether they know Krishna is God or not. But in the beginning, we have to be thoroughly convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that thorough knowledge leads us to the point of pure ecstatic love of Krishna. We're not afraid of contradictions. We, by the grace of the Acharyas, can see how all the possibilities are there within Krishna. In fact, the so-called contradictions and paradoxes stimulate our ecstatic love. They awaken our ecstatic love as we make these necessary progress in spiritual life. We can look forward simply to becoming more and more immersed in attraction for Krishna. I was just thinking yesterday how much we have to be grateful for. Here we are in front of Shri Rukmini Dorkades, Srila Prabhupada. We get Mangalarti, Guru Puja, Bhagavatam classes, devotional service. What more could anyone want? You have to ask yourself that question. What more could I want than this? Just like in the Dhammadharastic prayer. I don't want anything else. Idam te vapur nata gopala bala. Just let this vision of Bal Gopal remain ever in my mind. I don't need anything else. Liberation, forget it. And then another contradiction is presented in the Dhammadharastic prayer. Kuvaratmajo bada murchayava yadva. These sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvar, they are imprisoned in Yamalarjun tree bodies. And Krishna is, so to speak, imprisoned because he's bound by Mother Yashoda to the grinding mortar. Yet, even though Krishna is imprisoned or bound, he's setting others free. This is another paradox, a contradiction. And the purpose of that contradiction is to arouse our ecstatic love. So the devotee prays in the Dhammadharastic. Just like Krishna freed Nalakuvara Manigriva from material existence, even though Krishna is bound by Mother Yashoda's rope, similarly, let Krishna give me ecstatic love of God. I don't want liberation from material existence. I want the true liberation, vimukti. I want to be situated in ecstatic love of Krishna. Let that happen to me. If Krishna can do it for Nalakuvara Manigriva, please then let him do it for me. So this is our prayer. First, in order to approach Krishna properly, we need some gratitude. It's a wonderful thing every day to come before the deities and thank them. What am I doing here? How did I get such fortune? And why do I become so crazy as to take the situation for granted? I even become critical in my mind. I find faults. Instead, my consciousness should be overwhelmed by gratitude. How glorious this is. How wonderful this is. And if you try to have that daily attitude of gratitude and appreciation, Krishna in the heart will notice and he'll reciprocate with you. And your devotional service will always be ever fresh by the mercy of the Lord in the heart. So let us not overlook this basic gratitude. Otherwise, we can become a bit wooden-headed and just take the situation for granted. Oh, another day at New Dwarka, another day at the program, another day at the service. When you start to feel like that, you should sound the alarm bell and beg Krishna's devotees, please revive my enthusiasm. Please revive the freshness of my devotional service. And it's very easy for Krishna to do that for you if you're grateful. You have an attitude of thankfulness. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to have devotional service. I don't deserve to be chanting Hare Krishna. If every day you have that attitude of gratitude, then that attitude makes it very easy for Krishna to reveal to you the glories of devotional service and the glories of his pastimes. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna Leela, what does that mean? That means Krishna's free will. Once Prabhupada was describing why we say the Lord has Leela or pastimes. Pastime means there's no material reason for Krishna doing anything. He thinks, let me go to the material world and see. Let me see how my devotees are doing in the material world. And while I'm seeing how they're doing, let me show some pastimes that will, some activities that will captivate their minds eternally. Let me go and see. You can partially understand this just by remembering when you wanted to go out on the town or go to the Santa Monica Mall and just look in the shops. Let's go see. Maybe you remember with your friends. Yeah, let's just walk on the street and see what's happening. Apparently, there's no external reason. Of course, you know, such activities are driven by the three modes of material nature. Nevertheless, for the point of the example, you can remember what that feels like. Let's go see. Let's go see what's happening. Let's go out for a walk. Let's go down to Venice Beach and just see what's going on there. Let's go see. So Srila Prabhupada describes, this is Krishna's attitude. Of course, Krishna's attitude has nothing to do with the modes of material nature. Let me just go see. I have no reason. Nothing's forcing me. Let me go. Therefore, the devotees are always wondering, how is it that the inactive apparently acts in this world? The unborn apparently takes birth in this world. So Kunti Devi gives us this example, how to meditate on the Supreme Lord and become eternally fascinated to the extent that our unconditional love of Krishna gradually reappears again. Are there any questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, glories for all of us.